One, two.
What up?
Lots of paperwork.
Yeah, so we've got another one next tomorrow.
This is all right, mate. Oh, there's your speaker.
Right, eh? Good, good. Okay, we'll start. Others coming in the car park. Well, sorry, I'm a couple of minutes late as well, so sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like to start on time? Now, Father, we thank you for the opportunity of being together again. We pray your blessing upon this session as we look at some of the more significant Old Testament men and women, and today Noah. So give us ears and eyes, understanding, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I use the microphone so we can say hello to people listening online. So it's been recorded. So that's the go there. And particularly the Hutchins, we know that you're listening every week, so we're thinking of you as well. So today we're looking at Noah. And again, Sue, the way that I kind of teach, if you like, or train, or is to start with what we know. Start with what you know. And then I'll contribute to the conversation. We do it that way, rather than me just offloading and tending to preach as well. So we're going to look at Noah. Last week was Adam and Eve, and we're looking at three things to help our thoughts. We're looking at the calling, we're looking at character, strengths and weaknesses, and then we're looking at the bigger picture in terms of history, his story. Where does Noah specifically sit in the history of, well, creation, in God's story of redemption as well? So we'll start there, shall we?
Yeah.
So tell me, what do we know?
Yeah.
What do you know about Noah?
Yeah.
We find him in Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9, predominantly. So what do we know? Sue?
He had family.
Okay, so Noah had family, so we'll put that in calling. Family, yeah. How many family? How big was his family? How many people went into the ark?
Well, we hear of three sons, don't we?
Three sons, yeah.
And their wives?
Three sons and wives, so three sons.
But does that mean that he had daughters, but they're not mentioned?
Three wives? I wouldn't think so, unless they missed out on the boat. Because we know only eight went in the boat, didn't they?
Right.
Yeah?
Okay, right.
So three sons, three wives, and then Noah and Mrs. Noah.
Yeah.
Okay. So family. Yeah?
Yeah?
What else do we know about Noah?
Well, he had a lot of faith.
Okay. So we'll put that in character. He had faith. Yeah? Yep.
Obedient.
Yeah.
Obedient. Susan, a roll. Okay.
Shut up now.
That's all right. Faith, obedience.
He lived in a very sinful culture.
He lived in a sinful culture, yeah. So we might put that in the big picture of history, right?
Yeah.
We'll put sin. We'll put wickedness.
Yeah.
And we'll give that a, you know, triple A, right? I mean, that's the story, isn't it? The wickedness, the evil. What does it say about that? What does God say about the sin, the wickedness, the evil? You remember? Significant statement that God makes in relation to, so what I see and hear, I'm now going to...
Well, he wipes the earth, but then he promises never to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, true. What else did he say in relation to the wickedness, the sin, the evil? He says something that's often misinterpreted.
I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created.
Yep.
With them the animals, birds, creatures that move along the ground.
For probably before that, he says something significant.
My spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years.
Yeah, that's the outworking. I'll take you to it. It says, God says there that the evil, the wickedness, he then makes this statement about relenting that he created humankind.
Yeah.
which often people misinterpret that as he felt sorry, I shouldn't have done it. It wasn't really that. Probably the more correct understanding of that is the sadness of that. Look what's become of what I've created. Not, I shouldn't have, you know. Okay, what else do we know about Noah?
Well, he was having a rough trot with the people that lived around him, possibly with the verbal abuse, you could call it.
Yeah, okay. So, in probably character...
It's probably a strength, wouldn't it? How he put up with...
Yeah. So, we'll use the word contention of, well, let's say humankind. We'll come back to that, actually. We'll put a star next to that one. What else do we know about Noah?
Righteous.
Yeah, righteous, yeah.
Yes.
What does it say? What does God say of his righteousness? His righteousness. It's important to differentiate between the righteousness of Christ and the righteousness that Noah had. What, when you use the word righteous, what's that specifically linked to, Sue? He was righteous. In fact, he was the only one. It says God looked at the earth, he could only find one righteous.
He walked with him.
Okay, so righteous, walked with God, yeah. What else? Specifically linked to righteousness of Noah. What does righteous mean? He was righteous. Right. Yeah, yeah, develop that thought. It's right something. Right. Because it's not, we're not connecting that to the righteousness of Christ that we have.
Yeah.
We are righteous, but we have been made righteous by Christ, haven't we?
Yeah.
So, Christ isn't in the picture here in terms of salvation.
Is he lawful? Like he followed God's instruction?
Yeah. So, we're going to say righteousness is connected to right living.
He
lived a righteous life, morally upright, etc. Yeah, obedience to the command. In fact, it says there of Noah, doesn't it? That he did everything God commanded. Yeah. All right, what else do we know about Noah? Okay, let's go with the obvious. Built a boat.
Yes.
Right. When we think of Noah, we think he built a boat, right? There's no record of anyone else building a boat. What is it interesting about the boat? What did Noah have? Starts with B. He built the boat with...
blueprint.
Oh, I love it. Yes, blueprint. When I think of Noah, I think of a man who had a blueprint, didn't he? Downloaded from God.
Well, he had very exact instructions.
Correct. Yeah, specific instructions to build this boat, a blueprint. Yeah? To which then he was faithful, obedient, connected to the blueprint.
So he had a lot of common sense, this bloke. Because he took on the instructions, and it wasn't like he, well, obviously God gave him the ability, but
But develop that thought though, Sue, because that's one of the keys about Noah.
Yeah.
He wasn't a
builder.
Yeah, he wasn't a boat builder.
No.
Right. So he's got a blueprint.
Yeah.
But no, let's say trade.
Yeah.
So he's actually been called. So we're talking about the calling of God on these people. He was called to do something that he had no necessarily skill or trade in doing.
Yeah.
Right? When you come to the New Testament, for example, we can say Matthew the tax collector, that was a trade.
Yeah.
Right? Peter and John, fishermen, that was their trade.
Yeah?
Interestingly, Jesus says to some of those disciples, I'll make you fishers of men. You're fishers of fish, I'll make you fishers of men. The blueprint from Noah, build a boat, what's that? What are you talking about? No trade, but obviously an ability, which we'll come to in a minute. Because where did that ability come from? And it's the F word, so we'll put an asterisk next to that. We'll come back to that. What else do we know about Noah?
He was really old.
Very old, yeah.
Of building a boat.
What? How old was he when he started building the boat?
I don't know when he started.
Well, he was 500 when he had his sons, so...
He was 500 when he had his sons. Yeah.
He was 600 when the flood came.
And the flood last... Okay, so let's put some of those stats down, because they're interesting. He's 500 years old when he has sons, three of them.
Yeah.
He's 500 when he begins the boat. The boat takes how long?
Must have been 100 years.
100 year, correct. 99, yeah. But we'll round it up to 100. Yeah? So he's 500 when he has sons. He's 500 when he begins the boat. He finishes the boat at 600 years of age. Mm-hmm. Also then, we've got the flood for how many days? Actually, that's not correct. How many days did it rain?
40.
40 days and?
Nights.
40 times. We'll just put the two. We understand what that is. And then they were in the boat for how many years? Sorry, how many days? How many days in the boat? How many?
150.
Correct. 150 days in the boat. That's a long time.
Well, not as long as 100 years building it.
True. Yeah. 150 days in the boat.
You have to be incredibly motivated to state something for 100 years.
Under extreme contention, or in fact the better word there is probably opposition. Okay, so interesting, the 40 days, 40 nights, that's quite a significant number, isn't it, those that are into numerology. Numerology, they're probably get excited about that. Fair enough. What else do we know about Noah?
Well, it was very hereditary, the age, because his father lived 595 years after he became the father of Noah, and he had other sons and daughters. So,
yep.
Yeah. I mean, is a year like today?
Just going to say,
has
it been a time back then?
Yeah.
I am imagining that it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else? What about...
Well, God makes the promise to Noah, the covenant.
Okay.
Where we get the rainbow.
Yep. 20 minutes, we got to the rainbow, yeah?
Well, I did mention it before.
God, did you?
Like when we were talking about the... Well, not specifically the rainbow, but God's promise.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, let's put that here, because that is key, isn't it? I think it sits there. Actually, but it doesn't sit there. The promise and the rainbow sit here. And you used the word covenant, didn't you?
Well, that's what the Bible says, yeah.
Well, it is. Well, it's extremely important. It's a covenant. Yeah. I will never flood the earth again. Covenant. It's a promise. Promise, covenant. Well, we understand that, don't we? God is a covenant-keeping God. Yeah. In fact, it's quite significant because we have, don't we, the Adamic covenant, the Noahic covenant, the Davidic covenant, the Mosaic covenant. All these significant people related to God as a covenant-keeping God. Yeah. We won't. When we get to Abraham, we'll the Abrahamic covenant. We'll look at that. Okay. What else have we got? I'm going to put an asterisk next to the rainbow as well because. We'll asterisk those which we'll go back to. Anything else to round it off? Calling, character, strengths. What about weakness? Any weakness in Adam? What's Noah? What's Noah also known for? So, family, building a boat, rainbow.
He got drunk one night.
Yes. Yes. You better take some of these sessions. Okay. I want to explore that weakness for a moment. Well, I'll put an asterisk next to it. We'll just use the word nakedness. Yeah. Because that's what happened, isn't it?
Yeah.
He gets drunk because, in fact, what was Noah's trade, Sue? Because he did have a trade. He's not a boat builder, but what was he?
No, I haven't got a clue.
Is he a farmer?
You're on the right track.
He planted a vineyard, so was he a...
A winemaker, actually. So not only built a boat, but also was a winemaker. If you look at it there, built a vineyard, made his wine, got drunk on his own wine. well, we know that story. We'll put it next to nakedness. Well, drunkenness, actually, isn't it, really? But we'll come back to it and ask ourselves, was it really a weakness? Yeah? Because we're wanting to look at strengths and weaknesses. Okay. What else have we got? Faith, obedience, righteous, walk with God. Next to that word righteous, let's put the word blameless. Imagine God creates and can only find one blameless person. That's how much sin, wickedness, evil was now on the earth. Only one was found. By the way, do you know what Noah means in the Hebrew language? Rest. Very significant. The ark came to rest. In God there is rest. Yeah. Okay. One more minute. We want to put anything on the board beside what we've got. Family, boat builder, winemaker, blueprint. Listed a few stats in regard to age and time taken. Character, faith, obedience, righteousness, weakness, potentially, we'll look at nakedness, drunkenness. The big picture of history, Noah sits in that space. In fact, we just need to develop that a bit. When you think of Noah, we do think of the promise and the covenant, the rainbow, but what else specifically linked to the ark we attribute to Noah? Think about what we talked about in regard to Adam last week. Jesus being the second Adam. We mentioned that. What's the significance of Noah in the bigger picture of God? History of mankind. History of God's activity on the earth.
He repopulated the world.
Ah, okay, yeah. So we've got God picking up on the same command he gave Adam. Populate the planet, yeah? And he says, we're going to start again, yeah? So these Adam and Eve didn't populate anymore, did they? Yeah. But these three sons, three wives, I mean, that's an interesting lesson on its own about what was happening there, because we do get that story of the giants and the et cetera, don't we? And again, evil, but these six, they repopulate the planet, yeah?
Again.
So we've got populate, but what else is significant to the ark? The ark speaks of, or speaks to something as symbolically.
Are you talking for like when the Israelites are walking around the desert, like they're carrying the ark, like God's presence?
No, but that's a good thought, isn't it? The Ark of the Covenant, containing the presence of God. I'm not, but that's a good thought. Yeah. Are we going to go to the S word? What was the Ark?
Well, it was safe haven for the animals and his family, but
yeah, which is interesting because God saves not only eight people, but animals. Yeah? Salvation, isn't it? The ark is symbolic of salvation. We connect it to salvation. Well, you said it. Somebody just said it. Saving. It's an instrument or a vehicle of salvation. Yeah? I think it's also, when we look at the ark, it's also important to take note of the door. What does it say of the door on this boat? We may have mentioned it last year when we looked at end times.
Yeah. Well, it just says the door is in the side of it. You shall make it with the lower, second and third decks.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's catering for every level of the ark. But
yeah, yeah. What did God do? How is God connected to the door?
Well, 12, we can only...
You're on to something, Sue. Yeah.
Christ is the door.
Yes.
For us to get to...
To God.
Yeah, for eternal life.
Yeah. I stand at the door and knock.
That's right.
Okay, the key here with the door is that God shut it.
Just read that. We'll shut it in.
God shuts the door. At some point in that process, God shuts the door. Mm. God says, enough's enough. Mm. Time's up, I'm shutting the door. At some point in our future, in the future of humankind, God is going to do what? He's going to shut the door. We could say, shut the door to heaven. He will shut that door. I could give you some time to think about it, but I also want to put an asterisk next to the other skill or qualification or calling that Noah had. In fact, I'll give you 30 seconds. What was it that Noah did as well as building a boat? Of which he had no skill. Well, no experience, no trade. But he, and simultaneously, Noah was doing what when he was building that boat?
He was being a witness.
Yes, okay. We'll write that down, that a witness. Now, we won't find it, you won't find it in Genesis 6 through to 9. You'll find it when Paul picks up on it. And he tells us, he uses some language to describe this boat builder. He was a, connected to the word righteous. What else did God call Noah to do? He called him to build a boat. He called him to, you're on the right track, he called him to be a witness. He was a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. True, isn't it? As well as building the boat, he's preaching. When people say, why are you building the boat? Well, I'm building the boat because of coming rain, which rain was, starts with J.
Justice.
God's justice.
Judgment.
Judgment, yeah. So he's a preacher of righteousness. He's also a preacher of judgment. There's a day coming. You know, I'm building the boat because it's going to rain and God's going to flood the earth. Not that he ever experienced what rain and a flood was before, but he's a preacher of righteousness, leading by example, the only righteous one, and he preaches this message of judgment, coming judgment. It's interesting, isn't it? In those the record here of 6 through to 9, that when God shuts the door, what happens?
Panic.
And what are people doing? Let me in now. Let me in now. I'm getting wet.
Yeah.
Right? Too late. Isn't that the picture of the kingdom of God, of heaven? Let me in now. Let me in now. Too late. We looked at that last year with the 10 virgins. Now we're knocking on the door. Too late. And we explored that, didn't we? Okay. So, let's pick up on a couple of thoughts here. I do want to go to this one first. No trade, no ability. The F word. The one thing that it says there in relation to Noah, in terms of, we could use character trait, if you like, in Genesis 6:8. Somebody read that. Genesis 6:8.
But Noah found favour in the eyes of the Lord.
There it is. Noah found favour in the eyes of the Lord. Favour. Yeah? The Hebrew word is ken. K-H-E-N. This is what it is. This is what favour is. It's a gift given with delight. God delights in Noah. He gifts him with favour to do what? Build the boat, preach the gospel, preach the coming judgment, preach righteousness. In and of himself, he didn't have, perhaps what we might say, the skills. Mm. So he's favored by God. A gift given with delight to carry out the tasks that he was given. Jesus himself, in Luke, I think, it says Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and finding favor with God and man. I think we could read into the calling here. He didn't build the boat on his own for a start. He would have had the sons, right? He would have employed others, right? Interestingly, the boat still stands today, doesn't it? On Mount Ararat, right? So, he's equipped supernaturally. That's what favor is. Anybody that wants to do anything significant for God is going to need favor. You can't buy it, you can't borrow it, you can't steal it, you can't in and of yourself operate in it. It's a supernatural enabling. It's a gift given with delight. God gifts certain people. I'm sure, maybe you've said it before. Why is God calling me to be a worship leader? Why is God calling me to whatever gift you have? Why me? Yeah? Well, you're favored by God. I ask myself that. Why am I? You know, what can I do? Well, when favored by God, all things are possible. Yeah? So I think we do need to link faith, obedience, right living to the favor of God on his life. Why is it that only one man was found righteous? We can't just say, well, he was just an awesome guy. Right? He wasn't. He was fallen, right? But he operated under a favor. I think you can pray for it. I think you can believe for the favor of God upon your life. You know, I've been amazed over the years. You sit at those round tables and conferences and you'll have people that are doing significant. You look through history, people that engage in significant works for the kingdom of God. Often in their humility, they will say, I don't know why God chose me. I don't really know. You know, the amount of times I've sat, I'll use him as an illustration, Brian Houston, and every time I went at a round table, a conference, someone would ask the question, 1,000 people want to ask, but no one does. What's the secret, Brian, you know, to building a big church or whatever it might be, right? I've always been interested in the answer. He would say, there is no secret. I just do the little things well, and I keep on doing the little things. Now, obviously, there's more to it, but in that space of humility, really, God's gifted me, God's favoured me. Why? There's nothing special about any of us. You know, talent's just the start line. But when we add to the talent or the gifting or the calling, the favour of God on us, then we end up engaging in significant work for him. I think on the faith, I think it's worth noting that his faith, so you told me to put it up there, right? His faith is connected to what? And James speaks about it. Extremely important. Faith without works. Yeah. And I think one of the lessons we can learn from Noah is that faith and works working together brings about the boat, salvation, the big picture. Yeah? Faith and works. Yeah? He obviously had great faith. Faith is defined as believing in God, in who he is and what he can do, but then attaching works to it. Well, let's go to work with this blueprint and build this thing. Yeah? You know, we could look at, and look at, all the notes are on the website as well. So you can, you've already printed them down. Okay, cool. So, we've got obedience, we've got integrity, perseverance, some of those strengths. Yeah, we're looking at those. Let's look at the rainbow for a minute. Let's talk about... Actually, I'll just make one comment about a weakness. We've looked at some strengths. Faith and works, obedience, right living. Yeah. I can't find any record of any other weakness apart from this, to me, isolated incident. I wonder, why does the Bible, right, why does this account end with this story? You ever thought that? We got 6, 7, 8, and 9, 4 chapters, then all the references, Jesus even draws on Noah, as well as the Apostle Paul. Why does that story have to end with, I'm going to suggest, an isolated incident of, is it a weakness, or in the notes there, is it a misdemeanor? Is it that he slipped up? Is it that he had a momentary lapse of integrity, maybe? But then I asked myself, well, he just went to bed naked. Big deal. You know the story, hey, the son comes in, dad's naked, goes out and tells everyone. Then the two brothers come in, and, you know, you can imagine, can't you, if we can give it a bit of license, well, just cover him up.
Well, I was just going to say, it's not like he's in the middle of, you know, a group of hundreds of people.
No, it's in the privacy of his own tent.
Yeah.
He sleeps naked. He's got drunk, he sleeps naked. But for some reason, the Bible records it. That story was handed down. Who wrote this?
Moses,
right? So Moses is writing, isn't he? So somehow Moses got a hold of this story, didn't he? Yeah? And decided, yeah, we can say under the influence, in a positive way, of the Holy Spirit, the scriptures are inspired, but we're going to record this misdemeanor. You know what it says to me? He was human.
Yeah, I was going to say, does it separate from Jesus? Because other than that, there is nothing that says that
There something like when he cursed his son? Did something happen? Like, did the family become fractured?
They did.
And then they did.
That began from 8 people being saved in a boat, and a family that perhaps you could identify as being united in the cause, then becomes fractured from this. I'm going to say isolated incident. It only records it once, but to me, it speaks more about his humanity. The job's done. You know, the earth's now repopulated. We've started again. We're tending the land, etc. As you said, farming, etc. Right? So we're back on track. Although it doesn't take long and we get to the Tower of Babel again. But, yeah. Let's not be too hard on Noah, but let's not also be too hard on ourselves when we slip up the misdemeanor. Hang on a minute. We can pick ourselves up. We can seek forgiveness, be restored, accept God's grace, and move forward, can't we? We don't have to stay naked in the tent, is the point.
But we also have the luxury of Christ having died for our sins.
Correct.
Noah doesn't have that.
No. Okay, let's go to the rainbow. I want to talk about the rainbow. What do we know about the rainbow? It's a covenant rainbow. It's a promise rainbow. Let's talk about the purpose of the rainbow. What's the purpose of it?
It's a symbol.
Hey?
It's a sign.
It's a sign? Yep. It's a sign of what?
God gives us, well, it's a sign of God's covenant, that he won't do it again.
That he won't do it again.
I love the fact that God's a big one on realising how stupid we are, and we need all these reminders like communion. I love communion.
Yes.
And I always thank God for understanding how we need to touch and feel and,
reminders.
And reminders. And the rainbow is the same.
Yeah, remember me.
Yes.
Yeah. So the rainbow is a sign. It's a promise. It's a covenant. Who's it there for?
Us. Everyday people. I think it's there for everybody. It's
okay. Develop the thought a bit more. What does the scripture say? Go to Genesis 9, 12 to 17. Genesis 9, 12 to 17. Someone read that for us.
And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I am making between me and you and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring the clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of mankind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all of life on earth."
Okay.
That's a reminder to God.
Yes, it is, isn't it? The rainbow is God's rainbow.
Yeah.
Yeah? This is God's rainbow. I'll set it in the sky. When I see it, I will remember my covenant that I made to not flood the world again. So you're right, it's for everyone, but let's be specific. It's for God. Well, you tell me.
If God's going to forget, then we're in big trouble.
Did you know God can never forget?
No. That's why I'm...
He actually chooses to remember. And when we attach that to sin, it's a very powerful understanding. Yeah. Because if God could forget... Anyway, that's another sermon. All right. So... let's just write this on the board. The rainbow is a sign. It's God's sign. It's for everyone. List the everyone, please. God.
Animals.
Have a think about that for a minute. The animals will see the rainbow.
Every living creature.
Sue, you come from a farming background. Yeah? So what do animals, they know, don't they? They know when it's going to rain, what, a couple of days before?
Yeah. Well, they know where, if it's hot, to go and stand under a tree. So, yeah, if there is a tree. Yeah, so they have feeling.
Yeah, they have an inbuilt radar. It's going to rain. It's going to be hot.
Ants
do the same thing.
Yeah? Mm. Well, they're going mad right now.
They can feel the atmospheric changes and all the things that happen. Yeah.
Mm. So that, we could only see. They see the rainbow. Birds see the rainbow, right? So it's for God, it's for animals, it's for all humankind. You know, the fascinating thing about Noah is we've still got the boat. It's there. We've still got the rainbow. It's there. Yeah? Now, whether you subscribe to 6,000 years, right? And this is the... I'm going to make this point, right? Whether you subscribe to 6,000 years, 4,000 years... before Christ, 2000 after Christ, then it's pretty significant that the boat and the rainbow are still there. If you want to go to science and tell me that the earth is 3 million years old, well, that's going to be very supportive of the boat is still there after 3 million years. Right? Talk about treated pine. Right? You know? And if it's 3 million, then the boat's there and the rainbow's still there as well. I'm going to subscribe to 6,000, just so you know where I am. So, but not be ignorant of science, actually. I think I'll put it here, you can tell me after. I actually subscribe to creation evolution. So, what else about the rainbow? God's established it, it's God's solemn promise, it's his agreement, it's for every living creature, it's a sign of a covenant. I think in the notes here, it is not merely a natural phenomenon, but a visible, enduring symbol of God's mercy, his commitment to humanity. It speaks to unconditional hope, reminding people of God's mercy. The rainbow takes us to salvation, doesn't it? Yeah? Now, ironically, there's a section of community that have taken the rainbow and they use it for their own purpose. Yeah? And here in Sydney, you know, we've got Clover Moore who's painted it all over. In fact, I noticed even in Camden there on the corner at some points, we've got the rainbow painted on the footpath there. Whatever council does, whatever government does, whatever minority groups do, whatever voices speak to the rainbow, at the end of the day, it's God's rainbow. And there's one message that's enduring of time. 6,000 years, 3 million years, right? God's rainbow, this universal promise of peace. I put it there in the notes too. The reference to the bow, rainbow. Just think about the word bow for a minute. I like these little things. They're just language, I know, but...
My bow is in the cloud.
My bow is in the cloud. What does a bow speak of?
Well, bow's a boat. Part of a boat.
Oh, the bow. Or the bow of the boat. Okay, yeah.
Like a battle, like an archer.
Yes. Yeah, it's a warrior's bow, right? And God is referred to as a
warrior.
Yeah, he's a fighter. He's a warrior. Yeah, he goes to war. God is a man of war. Yeah, I think it's significant. Noah did go to war for 100 years in the proclamation of the gospel, the proclamation, the preaching of righteousness and judgment. He's at war. Yeah. So this whole bow, setting in the clouds, the laying down of arms, the choosing peace, though, over continued judgment, which is what salvation is. It's a gospel of peace. It's a message of peace. Make your peace with God. At the end, I want peace with God now. Too late, yeah? I think also the rainbow is a reaffirmation of creation. We're going to start again. It's a reaffirmation of being fruitful and multiply, as you said. Adam's instruction still stands. This is why I believe heaven is going back to the Garden of Eden, because God doesn't. I can't find in Scripture when God starts something, it doesn't work, and so he wipes it. He goes back to it. The original. We're going back to that sweet fellowship with Jesus when we walk with him in the garden again. We're looking forward to that, aren't we? Okay. What else did we put an asterisk next to? He's a preacher. He's a boat builder.
Wickedness.
The rainbow and the wickedness, the evil, the intent of man's heart. Out of the heart comes evil and good. It will always be that way. But at some point, again, God's going to say enough's enough of the wickedness and the evil and the sin on the planet and bring it to a close. And shut the door. Yeah, the significance of that. We looked at the nakedness. Is there anything else? We've got 10 minutes or so.
There's something on the front sheet that it just talks about the obedience of Adam, don't eat the fruit, to Noah, don't eat blood. What is that?
Ah, yes, yeah. So, again, it's interesting that when God covenants with people, there's specific instructions, and often the instruction to don't do that. So for Adam and Eve, we looked at it last week, don't do what? Don't
eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge.
Yeah, don't eat that fruit. We've got a new covenant now, that's the Adamic covenant, and we can draw all the parallels from that, right? Don't touch sin. Sin crouches at the door, don't touch sin, right? But for Noah, in the covenant, we have this, don't eat blood, right? Don't drink blood. Interesting, isn't it, that in the satanic world, it's known for the drinking of blood, right? The thing that God said, do not do. So when we cook the meat, and there are plenty of religions, faiths, that it's got to be, you know, basically burnt, you know, so that we're not tasting blood. Also, the significance of blood is that without the shedding of blood, there can be
no salvation,
no forgiveness of sin, right? So we get Christ who spilt his blood. We get communion, right? So blood is specific. God covenants with blood. Remember when they had to paint blood on the doorposts? You know, the Passover. So there's a lot of connection. So it's interesting that he says, you can eat everything. There's no tree now. There's no fruit to not touch. But when I've given you meat, I've given you everything you eat, but make sure that you're not taking of the blood. Yeah, so that's where we sort of go with that. That instruction. Yeah. That instruction really is part of the blueprint, isn't it? This is what I want you to do, and this is what you can't do. We've got the same thing. The Ten Commandments are the blueprint. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. When Jesus came, he fulfilled that. He added to it. Yeah? This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. A lot of people get hung up on that. It's just rules and regulations. No, it's boundaries. To help us, right living. Yeah, that's what the Bible is. Helps me to live righteously. Right living. So yeah, the blood. Anything else in the story of Noah? He's a cool guy. We haven't touched on his leadership. Leads himself, leads his family. That spiritual leadership that he brought, I think that's significant there in terms of character, strengths, his leadership. Yeah? You'd have to say that, I'd say.
I was reading through, and it's just struck me, I must have paid any attention, but it actually says that he should take 7 pairs of clean animals, not 80. It's 7 pairs of clean animals and 1 pair of unclean animals. So, you know, for as long as I can remember, I've been told, you know, a male and female of every kind of animal, but nobody's ever mentioned the 7 pairs of clean.
So the pigs were there.
Well, the pigs are obviously
the unclean, yeah.
But, you know, not just 2 horses or 2 cows or 2 whatever or 2 lamb. There was sheep, whatever.
Yeah, you know where that I connect that to imagery. 2 by 2, they went in the ark. So we automatically think that 2 by 2 is just 1 of each, but it wasn't. Really? Yeah, that's right. We talked about the renewal of humanity through Noah. Anything else worth mentioning in the story? You're right, that family discord that takes place.
It's just human. The story in 8, chapter 8, verse 7. He sent out a raven.
Oh, yeah.
And then, in verse 8, and then he sent out a dove. So, obviously, 2 different birds.
Yep.
The raven's like a crow, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And the dove is a peaceful bird.
Yes.
That will fly back. Return.
And that's where we get, again, that imagery, don't we? We connect Christianity to a cross and a dove.
Yes.
You know, symbolic of peace. The boat came to rest, and now the bird comes back, the dove comes back, symbolic of the Holy Spirit as well. It's time now. He waited a bit longer, didn't he? Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
And it's all the numerical.
Seven, there's a lot of 7.
Yeah.
But also, isn't that where you get the saying, like, the olive branch, extending a...
Yeah.
It's because the dove brings that back.
Yeah, the olive branch, yep. Sorry, I just repeat it so that those who think,
yeah.
Carly said, the olive branch.
And then verse 12, he waited yet another 7 days, so that's twice, so the 7, and sent out the dove, but she didn't return, so she was obviously happy with the whatever food was available, the vegetation that was...
Yeah, we haven't touched on that, the boat and the birds. It's quite a significant part of the story, actually, yeah.
And then he removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the surface of the ground was dried up.
Yeah.
Mm. Gee, they must have been happy, wouldn't they? They would have got on each other's nerves, wouldn't they?
Oh, look, okay.
Do I have to clean up those animals again?
Oh, it's just a nightmare, isn't it?
Well, it's either that. We know that the Lord would have calmed each animal. Because they would have all got on each other's nerves.
Or be eating each other.
That's right.
That's why they needed more than 2.
Yeah, probably.
Well, you're in the boat for 150 days. What was Adam and Eve? What was Noah and his family eating? That's a long fast.
Yeah.
And they didn't know how long it was going to be either.
Yeah.
I don't think that was in the blueprint,
no,
or was it?
No. Yeah. But I mean, for the Lord to do all this incredible venture, I mean, you know, did he stop there and getting hungry even? You know, I mean...
I mean, you'd have to say they're working on the boat.
Yeah.
The work wasn't finished when the door shut.
Yeah. You've got to pilot the boat. You've got to go somewhere. Or not go somewhere.
Well, I think it would just...
As in, like...
I don't know if he's piloting it.
If it's raining, you could assume that there are storms, is what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, so yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
They would have been in that boat for... They could have been in it for 3 weeks before the water even let it rise. You know,
oh, it's rising, yeah. But that's when it comes back to the blueprint. Yeah. I was watching something on television a few weeks ago, actually, about the construction of it. Mm. There's a museum somewhere where they've got one, and they're saying the dynamics of it, for it to be able to float and not overturn, was miraculous.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it sat there and bobbed in the in the storms. Yeah. Seriously, like.
Yeah. And then what wouldn't have even been a steering wheel, I reckon, Carly? They just bobbed along.
Yeah. And ended up on top of Mount Ararat. Okay. Well, there we go. There's some good stuff there about Noah and what we can take from it as well. Because we engage in the covenant of God, God's covenant with you and I. We engage in being a witness to him. We need favour. Accept our humanity, leadership, faith, obedience. We're just not building a boat or wine. Well, Father, we thank you for some time around your word, and we pray that you'd help us to take what we can out of this story and out of the example that Noah provides for us. We ask for your favour. We ask for your hand to rest upon us as we serve you in ways that you've called us to. In Jesus' name, help us to continue to be a witness to others. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 There we go.
Have you ever seen the movie Evan Almighty?
Bits of it. I don't generally watch Christian movies.
It's not a Christian movie.
No, oh, isn't
it's,
it?
It's based on...
Oh, yeah. It's the funny guy, isn't it? That's in it.
It's got some quite good...